Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This week on Rewind, your week in review.
President Trump's campaign pins its hopes on reversing Joe Biden's win in Wisconsin on a federal court lawsuit.
Cannot express strongly enough my disappointment in your actions yesterday.
I am not withdrawing as chair.
Elections Commission fights include a call for the commission chair to resign. Republicans offer a controversial package to fight COVID-19, but Democrats say it's a partisan wish list. Top state officials prepare COVID-19 vaccination plans. Rewind, your week in review for December 4.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
The presidential election was 1 month and 1 day ago, but the controversy in Wisconsin and the apparent, the certified win by Joe Biden continues. So much has happened over the last few days, and I think we should just do a timeline. Also, we took Thanksgiving Friday off, so we have a lot of news to catch up on. But let's talk about the timeline and what happened just this week. Over the weekend, the recounts in Dane and Milwaukee counties, which cost the Trump campaign $3 million, showed a net gain of President-elect Biden 87 votes. That's not a good investment by the Trump campaign, but anyway, okay. The official results gave Mr. Biden a winning margin of 20,608 votes, 0.6%. That was over the weekend. Any PSs, JR, before we go to Monday?
I'm trying to remember Monday. No.
Okay.
No, I mean, the recount came out as expected. If you're going to recount Democratic counties, you're probably going to find more Democratic votes because you uncover mistakes. I mean, that's right, the bottom line of the recount.
Right. Right. Then on Monday, the Wisconsin Elections Commission Chair Ann Jacobs signed the canvas statement, forwarding it to Governor Evers. Governor Evers then promptly issued an official certificate authorizing 10 Democrats to cast the Electoral College votes. JR, is that on December 14?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's the National Electoral College casting those votes. Turning to Tuesday, very eventful. The Trump campaign files a state Supreme Court action, asking the court to void 221,000 absentee votes and votes cast by those who self-certified as indefinitely confined. That's one thing that happened on Tuesday. But then we had a very contentious Election Commission meeting. The Election Commission, of course, three appointees of Democrats, three appointees of Republicans. Let's just listen to this back and forth, which includes a request that Chair Ann Jacobs, who just signed off on that official document, resigned. That request was made by former Republican State Representative Deed Knudsen, who, excuse me, crafted the legislation creating the Elections Commission. Please, that video.
I cannot express strongly enough my disappointment in your actions yesterday, particularly after I formally asked at our last meeting that we would have a meeting and a chance to discuss prior to any certification. The law is very clear, and you have violated the law as our chair. As a consequence, I believe that I've lost all confidence in you as the chair. I can't see that we can go forward as a group. I don't think you realize, even at this moment, how much you have destroyed the bipartisan nature of what has gone on. I'm gonna call for your resignation as chair. We're gonna need a new chair. And I'm gonna say that until this gets resolved, this commission should take no further action on today's agenda or any other agenda.
Number one, I am not withdrawing as chair. Number two, what I did was not illegal. You are misinformed about what took place and absolutely incorrect. No certificates of election were issued under 7.705A whatsoever, because the president is not elected here in Wisconsin. There is no certificate of election under 7705A. That remains for today's agenda, so that the people who were elected can now be formally certified as being elected. For example, Assembly, Congress, State Senate, all those people who were elected. are on the agenda for today. That has to happen today, and it will happen today.
When we followed what we did in 2016, you're calling for the resignation of the chair. The only thing I see different is that Ann Jacobs is a woman and I'm a white guy. And I mean, that it seems to me that's the only difference here. The Republicans didn't call for me to resign in 2016 when I did what Ms. Jacobs did. And if anything is going to hurt our bipartisan efforts in this regard, is those kind of unfounded personal attacks.
I would like to state officially on the record that I have complete confidence in the voting equipment in use in Wisconsin, that I think there's no evidence of systemic problems, of software problems, programming problems, hacking. There's no evidence of switched votes. This recount wasn't really about the accuracy of the count. It was about legal questions. And so that's why I thought we should not go forward. The my reading of the law is, and I believe the plaintiff's reading of the law is, that until all the appeals are over, there shouldn't have been a certification. And the thing that triggered their ability to recount was the completion of the state canvass and her determination by our chairperson, which is a complete different thing than forwarding it on to the governor and the governor forwarding it on to the GSA. That never should have happened yesterday. I believe it was an invalid, illegal action. But we need to be clear here that we do not see problems with our voting machines.
That was a 3-minute video clip, but I think it was a very important 3-minute clip. And note the way it ended. Former Chairman Dean Knutson, a former Republican member of the Assembly, who as I said, helped write the bill, creating a 3R, 3D election commission, said he had, quote, complete confidence in our voting machines. Okay, JR, sorry for dominating. What's your take on that back and forth, the demand to resign? No, I'm not going to resign, please.
Well, what Ann Jacobs did is what the commission has done before, the commission chair, in terms of providing results. There's an argument I've heard from conservatives that the statute's been interpreted incorrectly and the full commission should have a say. And on two, there's a complaint from Dean Knutson and others that in light of what's going on with this election, where you have a controversy over the result with President Trump seeking a recount, now going to court, that there should have been a more open process with the full commission meeting, having a say in this, et cetera. I'm not a lawyer, not going to try to interpret statute for you, but they're just arguing it's different. One thing to know about this whole thing with the recount that the president undertaken, it wasn't about, you know, just recounting the ballots. It's about trying to throw out ballots. And that's what's really kind of queuing up this law, this legal fight, and the sensitivity. We're not talking about fraud. And Dean, his comments about those Dominion machines came just as Sidney Powell, one of Trump's former attorneys, filed a lawsuit with a conspiracy theory that these machines had thrown the results toward Joe Biden. Trump's whole point here is trying to say, look, the way we run the election is incorrect. And we are at a point in Wisconsin right now where is there going to be a conversation going forward of, do we need to change state law to clarify how elections should be run? Have we been doing things correctly? Is the commission acting within its authority? Those are all the issues that are going to come now from the states, maybe from the state Supreme Court at some point, and maybe from a federal lawsuit that we have now pending in the courts.
But as the Journal Sentinel reported this week, JR, these election law rules were written by Republicans over the last 10 years, correct?
Yes and no, because they were the law was laid down by the Republican-controlled legislature, but the commission has been exercising its authority granted under those laws. It's the commission's interpretation, for example, that clerks can fill in the blanks on envelopes if they're missing. So if you vote absentee, you fill out that envelope that has your information and your witness's information. If your witness leaves off, for example, a zip code or the city or a piece of information, the clerks have been told by the commission, you can fill that in using publicly available information, right? That's not expressly written in the law. That's part of what we're getting at. They're also, now the Trump campaign is challenging that the envelope that the commission says is okay to use for early in-person voting as both the certificate of the vote and the absentee ballot application, that's not sufficient. That's not expressly written in the law. It's the commission's advice. This is what we're getting at. How is the commission running these elections? And does the Trump campaign have a legitimate complaint about these various things the commission has done. Well,
but my point was the addition of the words indefinitely confined. I certify I'm indefinitely confined, therefore I'm casting an absentee ballot, was part of the photo ID law that the Republicans and Governor Walker signed in 2011. That's my only point. Okay.
Another issue in this, in that, you know, are people following the law on that? Did clerks have a responsibility to go back and try and check? Are you really definitely confined? I mean, there are a lot of questions that have been raised by this, and they're interesting questions. I don't get the impression, though, that the remedy the president is seeking, which is throwing out ballots, is going to be available to him when this is all said and done.
Okay, let's go back to the timeline. On Wednesday, the Trump campaign filed a federal court lawsuit. JR, just a quick question. Did their claims in the federal court lawsuit mirror the claims that they filed with the state Supreme Court pleadings?
They were in the same category, how it was run. But what's different is the federal lawsuit is saying that the commission and others usurped the authority of state lawmakers and how they ran this election. Therefore, things should be thrown out and we should kick this whole thing to the GOP-controlled state legislature and have them decide a remedy, which could include deciding who gets Wisconsin's electoral votes. Right. I am not a lawyer. I've said that a number of times, but I've read enough legal briefs the last year. I have like a law degree, GED, essentially, at this point. In my reading of the Trump campaign's federal lawsuit, and I read this by a couple of lawyers, the Trump campaign references a number of times Bush v. Gore, the decision from 2000 U.S. Supreme Court that settled that controversy, and also an opinion from Neil Gorsuch, a justice in the Supreme Court, that the legislatures have the authority to change election laws, not these other entities. It sounds to people I talk to like they're trying to cue this up as a vehicle to go back to the U.S. Supreme Court about how Wisconsin's election was run to make a case. I don't know if they'll get there. I don't know if they have a good case, but it seems like that's part of what they're trying to get at as opening a new legal front in Wisconsin about the legislature didn't approve these changes, therefore legislature should end up deciding who won Wisconsin.
Okay, let's go back to the timeline. Yesterday, the state Supreme Court split 4-3. It will not hear the Trump lawsuit. Justice Brian Hagedorn cast the key vote saying, look, we are not a fact-finding court. The facts in this case should have been determined by lower courts, either circuit court or court of appeals. Therefore, I don't want to hear this, what's called an original action, where the Supreme Court takes direct intervention bypassing those two lower courts. But, JR, fill us in on what happened then, because the Trump campaign filed immediately, appealed in Dana and Milwaukee, and go ahead.
So the state law says that if you're going to appeal a recount, you go to circuit court to file your lawsuit. I'm going to quibble one thing you said. Hagedorn didn't say he didn't want to hear the case. He didn't want to hear it right now.
Thank you.
He wanted to follow that statute that says it goes to circuit court and goes through the process. Now, as you look through kind of the decision, well, procedurally, Justice Rokensack, the Chief Justice last night, assigned the case to a reserve judge from Racine County, who now has the combined cases of Milwaukee and Dane counties before him. But what I was doing yesterday was trying to read the tea leaves of the order from the Supreme Court to figure out what's in there. And if you break it down, it's interesting. You have Brian Hagedorn saying, I don't want to hear it now. It should go through circuit court first. But Brian Hagedorn is silent on the issue of the remedy that Trump seeks, which is, again, throwing out 221,000 ballots that were cast by people in Wisconsin who were following basically the advice of state and local election officials. He's silent on that issue. Rebecca Bradley, another conservative on the court, kind of gives an indication that she believes the law is the law regardless of the remedy sought. And so people I talk to think that she is open to the Trump campaign argument that the election was not run correctly and there is maybe an avenue to throw out some ballots. The key for me was Justice Rokensack and Justice Ziegler. They signed on to a dissent that Rokensack wrote, in which Rokensack noted, for example, with the missing information absentee ballot envelopes. She said, maybe that's not the correct advice from the Elections Commission that you can fill in those ballots, that information. Okay. However, the remedy the president is seeking may not be reasonable. Okay. To people I talk to, that's a sign that both Rokensack and Ziegler, who again signed on to the decision, are not comfortable with the idea of throwing out 221,000 ballots over how the election was run. Okay. Now, the three we didn't hear from are the three liberals in the court, Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, and Joe Karofsky. We it's tough to assume in this world, but we kind of assume that because they're a liberal side of the court, they will unlikely agree with the president on throwing out ballots. Okay, so if you read the tea leaves, we're guessing 5 votes right now not to throw out ballots. Rebecca Braley is being open to the idea, and Hager being a wild card. Why I bring that up is because I don't know how this case is going to play out. The court may end up finding that what the commission did was not correct. But those indications from that order suggest people I talked to that you're not going to see the mass removal of ballots in Wisconsin that would change the result. Again, I'm not predicting the outcome of like the legal arguments, but the remedy the president seeks, people I talk to don't think it's going to work with the state Supreme Court off of what they read in that opinion yesterday.
Meanwhile, there's a phone conference this afternoon on the federal court lawsuit filed by the Trump campaign aiming to overturn votes in Wisconsin. But we spent a lot of time on this very important issue, but we got other news to cover. The Assembly Republicans, which haven't met since mid-April, announced a package which they said is a COVID-19 fighting package. It had many elements. I think the summary from the Fiscal Bureau is 12 or 14 pages. I just want to highlight 9 of them quickly. Assembly Republicans want to create a $100 million fund to respond to the pandemic, double the number of local public health workers, require legislative oversight of the Evers administration plan to distribute the vaccine, provide legal immunity from COVID-19 claims for schools, businesses, and local governments, require most K-12 teachers to physically be in their schools by the end of January, require 2/3 votes of school boards to approve online instruction, provide $371 payments per child to parents whose children are learning virtually online, prohibit employers from saying thou must get a vaccination before as a condition of employment. And finally, Assembly Republicans say, we're going to demand that the backlog of unemployment jobless benefits claims be fixed. And if it isn't fixed, we're going to cut the pay of 3 top Department of Workforce employees, including the secretary. Okay, JR, knowing we're pressed on time, what's your response to the assembly package? Quickly, please.
This was about some Republicans putting down a marker on a bill after being knocked around for, 8 months now for not having one. But the chance of becoming law are almost nil. If you read through the provisions in the bill, there are a lot of ideas. I understand why they're there. And talking to people, though, they acknowledge that some are like reflections of complaints Republicans have had about, for example, Governor Evers' closed state capitol to the public. State workers right now largely are working remotely. Local officials have the power to restrict public gatherings, including church services. There are all these provisions that would reverse those things, set a deadline for it, so you can't do that anymore, that reflect unhappiness from Republicans about those actions. The other things are, incoming Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu basically said, we don't want to do a bill before the end of the year. We want to repackage surplus Medicaid money, and that could cover costs of things like contact tracing and testing. Right. And Governor Evers wrote a letter to the delegation, congressional delegation and President Trump this week saying, look, I don't think I was going to put a bill on my desk anytime soon, if ever. We need $446 million in new money to cover contact tracing, cover testing costs, cover a robust public information campaign, because we have all these mitigation efforts overturned by the courts of Wisconsin. We need to help to figure things out.
Right. Right. We're going to get Evers defending his request for $466 million in federal cash at the end of the show. But let's just look at some of the response to the assembly package. As JR said, the Senate Majority Leader-elect Devin LeMahieu said, look, Senate Republicans have discussed the various proposals, have serious concerns relating to the most effective distribution of new state funds. As JR said, we prefer to transfer the surplus from the Medicaid. And that position was also taken today in a press release by incoming Joint Finance Chairman Senator Howard Markline, who will talk. We will talk about Senator Markline in a minute. The response of the governor: it's unfortunate that Republicans can't even agree among themselves on a plan for our state's response to the pandemic. And just quickly, Assembly Democratic Leader Gordon Hintz dismissed the Republicans' plan as extremely political, divisive, at a time when we need the opposite. Republicans not want to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. They want to put into law limits on local governments and their ability to respond to the way that works for their community. Okay, no more time on that issue, because a major personnel change, a resignation in the Capitol this week. Republican Representative John Nygren from Marinette, who was scheduled, who was just reelected November 3, a month and one day ago, resigned as of 5 p.m. on, I think, yesterday or the day before. He will have a private sector job. He hasn't yet said what that's going to be. He was scheduled to be the joint finance co-chair. He was scheduled begin another term in January. He has resigned. He's no longer a member of the Wisconsin legislature. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss replaced him as Assembly co-chair. State Representative Mark Bourne, who from Beaver Dam, moved up to Assembly co-chair. It was between him and State Representative Amy Loudenbeck. She will be the vice chair on the Assembly side. The takeaway, neither Representative Nygren or Senator Darling, who had been co-chair of finance for, I think, JR can correct me, I think four sessions, will not even be on that panel. JR, your thoughts on Nygren out, Bourne in?
There's a big change in the committee in general in terms of Republican makeup, who's going to be working on this budget with Governor Evers. One, Darling had chaired the committee for six terms overall. She served on it for 11 terms total. I believe she was first appointed in 1999. That's a more than 20-year run that came to an end, but that's not really a shock because, remember, during leadership elections in the Senate, Roger Roth ran for Senate Majority Leader. He ran as a team with Alberta Darling for Senate President. After Lemahieu was chosen Majority Leader, Darling withdrew her name as Senate President. She wasn't on the Lemahieu team, so you're not going to get rewarded if you're not on the Lemahieu team. There was that. Number two, looking at the Senate Republican team now, you have Dewey Strobel as a vice chair. You have Mary Felskowski added, Kathy Bernier added, Joan Baldwin added, Dale Kayenga added.
Yep.
Interesting that Baldwin and Felskowski are both new members of the chamber. They won open seats this fall. Felskowski and Kayenga both served in the committee before in the assembly, but there is not a lot of Senate experience on that committee with the new makeup. On the assembly side, Voss has got at least two vacancies to fill because you have Nygren, who resigned and was replaced by Bourne as the leader, but also opens a spot on the committee. Also, Mike Rorcast, he didn't seek re-election. So there's two vacancies. Who will Robin put on there? It could be a very different committee. And with Senate Republicans, you look at that composition, it's a more conservative team than maybe we've seen before.
Right.
But it's also more conservative Senate caucus, in a Republican caucus in the Senate. It's a reflection of that.
Okay. JR, I just want to focus a little bit on the Senate members of the Finance Committee. As you said, Mark Lyon is chair, Dewey Strobel from Saukville, Koyinga from Brookfield, Felskowski from Irma, Joan Baldwin from Marquesan, Kathy Bernier from Chippewa Falls. Here's my takeaway on that, JR. Of those, it is a incredible, that may overstate it, strong rural representation. Why do I say that? Felskowski comes from Irma. That's unincorporated in Lincoln County. The population is 27,000. Baldwin comes from Green Lake County. The population is 18,000. Only one of the Senate Republicans comes from a county with more than 100,000, and that's Senator Koyinga, whose population of Waukesha County is 404,000. The Democrats, Senator John Erpenbach has now moved to West Point, which is Columbia County. But the Democratic Senator, LaTanya Johnson, comes from Milwaukee. So it looks to me like it's a rural-oriented Senate Joint Finance Committee. Agree? Quickly?
Yeah. Also, 2 years ago, Dewey Strobel was put in the committee as a kind of an olive branch to the terrorist caucus in the Senate. Remember, Robin Voss called them a bunch of terrorists because they wanted to bunch of the budget. The most conservative wing of that Senate Republican caucus, Dewey was the conduit to those guys for outgoing Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Baldwin now is kind of like the equal for the moderate branch. She's more of a moderate, views more moderate than some of the members. She is now that that conduit to the guys like Rob Coles of Green Bay and Jerry Petrosky up north, that they're maybe not as southeastern Wisconsin hardcore conservative on some things as like a Strobel or a Capping on those kind of guys.
Okay. Time's getting away, but there's one more topic before your stock picks. I want to hear from the governor talking about plans to vaccinate, and DHS Secretary Designee Palm. Please play that.
While other governors are working to turn the dial as their state surges, our statewide mitigation efforts have been struck down and joined and are currently the subject of ongoing litigation. Our state legislature also hasn't passed the bill in more than 230 days, and at least one house doesn't plan to come into session before January. The crisis our state faces in is not being able to have a statewide mitigation strategy coupled with a legislature that has no plan to act. We are asking the federal government to prioritize distributing vaccines in Wisconsin. So today, I also sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services requesting Wisconsin be prioritized for the first vaccine shipments and in quantities large enough to vaccinate all 450,000 members of our healthcare workforce and to begin vaccinating Wisconsinites who are high risk. You know, we've been in a pandemic for 8 or 9 months, and the last thing that your governor will be telling the people of Wisconsin that we got the vaccine, but we're not going to give it to you because we don't have the money. Clearly, that's not going to happen. We will get the vaccine out.
The system is set up such that vaccinators or organizations who want to provide vaccine register based on a number of federal criteria. They can then place their orders. They can tell us how many vaccine they need to vaccinate their healthcare workers, for example, and then we can roll that up into our requests to the feds for distribution to those healthcare providers.
I just want to wrap up this subject this way by noting that we have had a drop in the number of positives daily, but to quote Secretary Palm, it's too early to say if this is a trend. Her term on Tuesday's DHS briefing, let's wait and see. We did report a record number of deaths, 107 on Tuesday. Finally, Dr. Ryan Westergaard has said a couple things. He said that with a positivity rate of more that continues to average more than 30%, that is, his words, far, far above the rate of less than 5% we need to curb the spread of COVID-19. He also said that some Wisconsin hospitals have been forced to use healthcare workers who are quarantined because they're just so pressed for staff. Okay, JR, let's go to your stock picks, please.
Rising deer. About 26,000 more deer culled the 9-day period than last year. Also, the biggest demographic change for hunters, women, more women out there in the hunt this year. So bigger numbers for the deer hunt this year.
Mix, please.
The governor's cabinet. So Sarah Meany, tourism secretary, announced right before Thanksgiving she was leaving for the private sector. Worth noting that there are several members of the governor's cabinet still have not been confirmed, even though they're appointed nearly 2 years ago. Meany may have had some trouble getting a confirmation vote this session if she stuck around. There are a couple of members unhappy with her, and there are still others like Andrew Palm at DHS, Don Krim at State Professional Services, Craig Thompson over at Transportation, still waiting those votes. There are some questions about whether they will get confirmed if they go to the floor. Also, Randy Romanski was appointed to replace Brad Pfaff over at DATCAP. He's also waiting confirmation vote as well.
Okay. Falling, please.
Sidney Powell, former Trump attorney. Look, she's released the Kraken across the country in these various states and been mocked for it because her lawsuits are full of errors. The one in Wisconsin is no different. She first listed Derek Van Orden, who ran for the 3rd Congressional District this fall, as a plaintiff. Van Orden told me he learned about that via social media, and he did not give permission to be as a plaintiff. That's a problem. Her original filing, which I noticed, asked for video footage from from a center in Detroit. Why did she ask for video footage from a center in Detroit when it comes to a Wisconsin lawsuit? Sloppiness. They then amended the lawsuit to say they wanted video footage from Dana Milwaukee counties. But that said, it just the comedy of errors that you see in this filing undercut the legitimacy of it. And two, I've heard a complaint from Republicans that because of the problems that she's had with these filings, it muddies the water about the president's own lawsuit, which, again, I don't know if the remedy he seeks will ever be granted, that it raises some interesting legal questions in Wisconsin about how the election was run. But it gets grouped in with that, and now it looks like it's just the gang that can't shoot straight.
Okay. Okay. Now let's look ahead quickly to next week. Wisconsin, and I know Wispolitics will be focusing on, number one, a major Supreme Court case, 9:45 on Monday, dealing with the authority of local governments, the Dane County Madison Health Department's rules that rules ordering public and private schools to conduct classes virtually, point one. Point two, I'm scheduled to do an exit interview with Mr. Nygren on Tuesday. Point three, joint meeting of the Assembly and Senate Elections Committee to go over what they say they've received. Well, to use the term from Speaker Voss's press conference, thousands of allegations of irregularities. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for December 4.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.